The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, greetings. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our bunker. We come to you today. As many of you right now, we're all taking a look at what's going on in Japan and trying to figure it out. The introduction to our show, of course, deals with spiritual matters, which is exactly what we talk about all the time on here. And that's the one thing that you're not going to get watching Fox News and CNN. You're not going to get the spiritual movers and shakers behind the scenes.
Right. And
this case, shakers.
Yeah. And we believe the Apostle Paul knew what he was writing about when he told the church at Ephesus that we're not wrestling against human opponents. So that's where we take the look into the darkness as best we can, knowing that we see, to use Paul's words, as through a glass darkly.
Like, you know, a mirror in the dark.
Yes, backwards and into a dimly lit room. So, mm-hmm. The death toll as we record this on March 13th of 2011 is estimated now at upwards of 10,000. Which is probably a safe guess, considering there's that community in on the northeastern coast where some 9,500 people are still missing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other communities about the size of the town in which we live, you know, which is about 18,000.
The final tally is 13,000?
Or 133.
Yeah, well, boy, I hope not 133,000.
No, I hope not as well. Some of the initial reports that came back Friday night and Saturday as we began watching the news coming out of Japan was there were a couple of reporters who said, boy, this was really lucky that so many people got away. They had 5 or 10 minutes notice and somehow they all escaped. No, I think what's happened is that so many people were washed out to sea that mm-hmm. it was not immediately evident how serious this crisis is.
I'm afraid you're right. I am afraid you're right. There is a graphic. If you go to Instapaper, Derek, you can see it. It's that top one.
Earthquake before and after?
Yeah, that one. And we're going to put a link to this in the show notes. I put it at Facebook a little while ago, so you may already be looking at it. It is this amazing, I'm not sure how they did this digitally, but they've got a rollover. You can literally roll back and roll forward in time to see the changes before and after that tsunami.
Oh my goodness. There's a graphic of the airport at Sendai, and it's like, it was just, you know, here on the one photo, you got what looks like a modern, you know, a modern metropolitan airport, and after that, you've got what looks like a scorched earth. I mean, it's the color; it's because of the mud that washed over it, but it almost looks like the earth has been scorched.
It is when you do this the way they have put this in. I guess it's flash or something, but it's like you're wiping it away. It is chilling to watch, and it just brings to mind what it must be like for the Lord God Almighty to look upon this earth and to see the things that are going on, the choices we are making as humanity, to run away from Him mm-hmm. and to serve other gods. I mean, that's really what's going on ultimately. We mm-hmm. are, by denying Jehovah God, we are affirming the other gods. It's like binary. It's yes or no. It's serve Him or don't serve Him.
Right. There is no middle ground. And
by this, we're not saying that Japan is any different and they have been, you know, somehow singled out, mm-hmm. you know, and that God has said, I'm going to sweep my hand, you know, using water. I'm not going to sweep. That is not what I'm saying. That is not what Derek is saying. We're saying everyone in this world is fallen. We are all making bad choices every day. The only good choice we ever make in our lives, or the first good choice, mm-hmm. is to choose Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And there have been prominent Christian leaders who've tried to tie natural disasters to specific sin in the past. We talked about Pat Robertson and some of the comments that he's made in recent years, and others, not referring specifically to Pat Robertson vis-a-vis the Hurricane Katrina, but there were others who spoke up and said, well, it's because of all the wickedness in that area. Hey, look, there is none righteous, no,
Amen.
Not one. And
the first of you without sin, throw that stone.
Exactly right. So, no, there is no judgment being cast from this quarter. Our prayer is that through this disaster, that somehow the grace of God, His power, would somehow be revealed. And it, you know, looking at it from ground zero, if you're somebody who is sitting in an unheated shelter in the dark in one of these devastated areas right now, trying to live on what are some of the reports you've heard? Just a little bit of water and some rice balls that they've been able to get.
Somebody found some peanuts in a bag.
They're cut off from a good part of the rest of the country because the roads have been washed away. The earth has shifted. And some of the roads are just impassable, even if they're not underwater. It's a little difficult to see that there might be a loving, all-powerful God out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pray that somehow that some of the survivors might be led to Jesus Christ through this. And I'll confess that from where I sit, I don't know how that happens.
You know, that's just me too. I'm at the same place because it's hard for me in my fallen, you know, nature to understand. Yes, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but I've got that old nature. I still don't have my human understanding, which is so incredibly limited.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to look at this and think, how is this high pressure situation going to soften the hearts of the people in general? Most of the time when you do this, it actually hardens the hearts.
Right.
But God knows what He's doing, and He has plans. He loves the people, every one of them, the people of Japan, far more than we could ever imagine loving anything or anyone.
Yeah. That is the case. This is one of those times when being a Christian means having to answer some difficult questions from skeptics who would say, well, how can a loving God allow this to happen? We live in a fallen world. This was not the way God designed the planet. Mankind, through sin, turned away from the Lord. And temporary dominion, well, not say dominion, but let's say the enemy has been granted a certain amount of control over what happens here on planet Earth. Through the fall, we granted some legal rights to the enemy, apparently, to planet Earth, which is why Jesus referred to Lucifer as the prince of this world, the god of this world. I have to believe that implies some degree of authority over planet Earth until Christ returns with His army to reclaim the planet and will say unequivocally that the earth will not be reclaimed for Christ until He comes to do it Himself.
No, I think that's coming pretty quickly here.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who want to know how to pray specifically that, you know, that as you say, food, shelter, clothing, that these things are met, that these people can be warm and dry and fed, especially the kids. There are so many kids involved here.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, pray that they would find Bibles, that they would find fellow believers, that they would find someone to preach to them, that they would find solace, that they would find a place to pray, that they would find a way out of the darkness that has been, you know, may be in their lives because they've not followed Christ. Pray that this can be an event that changes lives.
Yeah.
Because we are only promised a very short lifespan on this earth. And afterward is eternity. So the things that happen here, whether they're tough or they're great, they're momentary.
Mm-hmm. And boy, I'll tell you, as you're talking, I've been scanning through these photos. This is the website of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, abc.net.au. And it's
a heart gut-wrenching.
It's my
series of photos.
Because when you look down on these photos and you see these pictures, and you realize that inside each one of these little rectangles or squares was a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll over.
A family that probably was sitting down to tea that afternoon.
Right.
The kids had just gotten home from school. I'm not surely, because it was about 2:30 in the afternoon there.
Yeah. And as you scroll over it, and you, again, some sort of flash animation where they've overlaid the before picture, and then as you scroll across it, you reveal the after photos. And it is mind-numbing because some of these communities that look like they could, you know, 5,000, 10,000 people, and there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
It is astonishing.
And it gives me an idea of how one of the clips that I was watching on, was it Friday or Saturday that I was watching this? I think it was Friday, a guy in a helicopter flying over a certain area. It's one of the pictures in this series. And he was crying.
And this was one of the reporters.
Speaking Japanese, and yeah. It was being translated, and the person translating was crying as well.
Yeah.
And so you heard a lot of clear, you know, weeping as the original speaker spoke in Japanese, and she translated, and he was saying, "They're gone. They're all gone."
Yeah. And this isn't the first tragedy like this that we have. That has taken place since we've begun recording these PID radio broadcasts.
Will it be the last,
no.
Probably.
December 26th, a couple of years ago, there was the quake and the terrible tsunami that followed in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
There was, of course, Hurricane Katrina. And now
Haiti.
The terrible quake in Haiti, the flooding in Australia. Are these the birth pangs that were prophesied in the Bible?
They seem to be coming faster and faster and poor Japan. I mean, for goodness sake, they had earthquake, tsunami, possible nuclear meltdown, volcanoes erupting.
Mm-hmm. It seems like Japan is really being kneecapped, you know, mm-hmm. as a nation at the moment.
Yeah,
they've been enduring an economic downturn that has lasted for over a decade.
They're in bad straits right now. Our debt to GDP ratio is about 1-to-1. Mm-hmm. Theirs is about 2-to-1.
Right. They kind of hit the wall in the same sense that we did with the debt issues long before we did. But they've been trying the same method of solving it, trying to spend their way out of it, and it's led to just a couple of decades now almost of just economic malaise. They were the hottest economy on the planet back in the 80s, and that has really not been the case, in recent years. And they're in tough shape. And now they've got massive reconstruction projects that they will need. This is not like Haiti or the devastation in other third world nations where there's very little infrastructure to rebuild. Your basic needs, are housing, food, and housing, food,
putting
and clean
up temporary
water.
Shelters for people, which may actually be better than the houses they lost.
Right, but in Japan, you've got their infrastructure is comparable to the United States. In fact, it might even be more advanced.
I would say so because they have high speed trains that have had to be stopped, and some may actually be damaged.
Yeah.
And all of their, good heavens.
Roads, airports, water treatment facilities, and, of course, the nuclear power facilities. You know, much of
how many? 40?
Japan has 55 nuclear power plants. And they're, in particular, the ones in question are the six at Fukushima, which is where they had the explosion on Saturday, the hydrogen bubble that exploded and took apart not the containment structure itself, which is 6-inch thick bowl, essentially, of stainless steel, but the building around the containment unit exploded as they vented hydrogen into that building to try to lower the pressure inside the reactor. But there are reports that they may have a similar explosion at the reactor number 3 because they're venting hydrogen mm-hmm. into it. They're saying that there may be two units now that are in partial meltdown.
This is a situation that's changing by the moment.
Right. So by the time you hear this, what we're telling you now will likely be out of date.
Oh, and more than likely, if you're listening to it in the archives, this is a story that you're going, well, gosh, didn't they know this at the time?
Yeah.
Well, very likely, you know, you're going to have 20/20 vision looking in the back into the past.
Yeah.
There is a wonderful series of graphics that I also posted to Facebook. So again, you may have already seen these. Derek, it's the top one, how the nuclear emergency unfolded in mm-hmm. the Washington Post. This is a tremendous series explaining what happened, showing what the various conditions at the power plants are at the moment that they did these graphics, and explaining exactly how these containment vessels were compromised and why that's bad. And then it goes into the worst-case scenario. It talks about the how bad is it, and it's getting badder. It talks about the evacuation that's going on. By the way, speaking of the evacuation and the possibility of radiation exposure, depending on who you ask, it may be horrible. It may be minor. It may be nothing. Mm-hmm. I think the worst-case scenario, honestly, is that those who are saying that prevailing winds could bring it across the Pacific Ocean toward the western edge of the United States and possibly right. even into Central America and South America. I don't know.
I would say it's
feasible.
I would like to know whether the United States received any fallout from the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945.
I think that's a really good question, and I'm sure that there, you know, that's something that we can take a look at and maybe
sure.
talk, a report on that, or even write a little note at Facebook about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding that more and more I post things at Facebook because that's where the actual people, that's the way the people's is,
<That's>
Jeremiah
right.
Johnson.
Well, yeah, so do follow us. The link, of course, to our Facebook page is at PIDradio.com, and things like this are being posted there. PIDnews.com is another place we've been posting, but that will probably
be. Is it at PIDradio.com or just at PIDradio?
PIDradio.com, the webpage, people can find the link to the Facebook page. See what I'm saying? People go to PIDradio.com if they don't know where to find
us
on Facebook.
I thought you were using the little tag at PID Radio that you would write in at Facebook in order to link to another page on Facebook. Sorry.
No, that's for Twitter.
No, that's hashtag.
Oh, right. I prefer the hash browns. Which is
me too. Yeah. Oh, well, by the way, before I forget, and I did post this at Facebook as well, Letter to Japan. LETTERTOJAPAN, hashtag letter to Japan. If you put that in your tweet, there is a person who speaks Japanese who has offered on Twitter to translate everything into Japanese. So you can, you know, leave your prayers, your thoughts, your love, whatever you want to say, you know, in support of the people of Japan, hashtag letter to Japan.
Mm. Well, yeah, prayers that the nuclear workers at the plants in Japan that are still overheated can bring things under control.
Well, that's just the problem. I think it's compounded by the fact that the nuclear workers were running for their lives.
Yeah.
When it all hit the fan. And so they've had to find them in a way where there are no cell phone towers that are working.
Sure.
Trying to communicate with these guys and get them back to the nuclear plant to work, and they're working probably 24 hours at a time.
And these plants have no power, which makes it very difficult to get anything done. The problem that they ran into at these facilities is that the first, you know, the quake cut off power to the plants, and the power, the electricity was needed to power the cooling systems, the pumps that brought the fresh water into the reactors to keep the uranium fuel rods from overheating and melting down. The reason you do that is so that the rods don't melt through the bottom of the containment building and into the surrounding environment, which is, you know, bad, really bad. But worse is that once the uranium fuel gets that hot, the stainless steel containment structure, you know, the 6-inch thick stainless steel containment structure melts,
mm-hmm.
and that then slumps down into whatever water is left, and then you get flash steam, which hits the
vapor that has to go somewhere.
Right, and basically what happens is you wind up with an explosion, which then spews that radioactivity, that hot nuclear fuel
right.
out into the environment.
Which they've already had one of, at least.
Really, really bad. Well, I don't think that's happened yet. The one explosion they had was the hydrogen explosion of the building around the containment unit.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was a vapor explosion, hydrogen vapor
right.
that caused it to go boom.
But if the stainless steel containment structure itself melts into the water that's inside.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Inside the reactor.
Yeah, I see what you're
saying. It would explode.
Yeah, and that would be really bad.
Because then there is no containment at all around the uranium.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And at this point, one expert who was interviewed by this, at a press conference in the U.S. said Saturday that at that point, many first responders would die.
You know, and that's this would be grim. Difficult at best under calm circumstances with lighting and food and
yes.
warmth.
Right.
But add to this problem the fact that they're shaking constantly.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look at the USGS.gov website, you'll find that I'm just looking at a list of those quakes that are over 5.0, and there have been shake after shake after shake after shake after shake today in the Honshu area of Japan. Many of them are 6, 5.9, 5.6, 6, 6.2, 6.2.
Yeah. And the earthquake, by the way, the initial quake that was reported at 8.9, the government of Japan has studied it and said, no, it was a 9.0, and they expect another quake or aftershock above 7 sometime in the next 3 days. So.
Yeah. Well, there were some 7s right away within 24 hours. This is such heartbreaking, you know, and I hate to say this, but it is going to get worse. This is just a teaser of what will be happening when the Lord God finally says, that's it,
mm-hmm.
and rains his wrath upon
yeah.
the earth.
Yeah. That's why they say, you know, that the powerful, the wealthy, will, you know, hide themselves, try to hide themselves in caves and to get away from
mm-hmm.
the judgment that is coming. And there will be no place to hide.
Speaking of hiding.
Yes.
Apparently the Democrats have gone back to Wisconsin. They're no longer hiding in our soon-to-be home state of Illinois.
Yeah. You know, I figured out, and it's too bad that they did, because I was, once we moved over there, was going to suggest to the state of Illinois a possible solution to the state's budget deficit. You know, a solution that doesn't involve raising the income tax of everyone in the state by 75% or whatever it was. They should just, you know, start billing the states of Wisconsin and Indiana to put up all the Democratic legislators that fled there to
yeah.
get away from voting on stuff going on in their own states.
Yeah. Do you think that they were going there because there was the world's largest Menards? No, I guess it's the state's largest Menards.
Yeah, state's largest Menards.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, you know, that's
that'd
be pretty
exciting.
Handy. Yeah, it is.
And it's going to be close by, and we're going to be going there a lot.
So there's that. The Middle East continues to shake, figuratively speaking. It appears that Muammar Gaddafi is rolling back the gains that the rebels in Libya managed to achieve. And it appears, according to Debka, that he's getting military assistance, at least in terms of hardware and armament, from Syria. While that's happening, the Arab League finally said, okay, we would support a no-fly zone. But Defense Secretary Gates says the United States could enforce a no-fly zone over Libya. He's just not sure that it's wise to do so.
Now, let's take that phrase, no-fly zone. What are the odds that the rebels on the ground were really saying, as quoted, hey, we need a no-fly zone. Can somebody in the U.S. give us a no-fly zone? Hey, Bush, give us a no-fly zone.
Well, you know, The military-minded among the rebels, if there were any with military experience, they would probably understand and know what a no-fly zone was. But it did seem a little odd that CNN's Anderson Cooper had a caller, an average woman who he said was risking her life to make the call and tell the world what was happening inside Libya. She was saying, where is our no-fly zone? We need a no-fly zone. Like, whoa, okay. Now, it may well have been a genuine call. It may just be somebody who has seen the term, has seen it referred to through the. But we just have to think back to the first Gulf War, when that 17-year-old Kuwaiti girl got in front of, you know, testified in front of Congress that the soldiers of Saddam Hussein were ripping open the bellies of pregnant women in hospitals in Kuwait City. And then it turned out later that she was reading a script written by the public relations firm Hill and Knowlton. She was the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador. It's a psyop. And we should
mention.
Shame
on them.
Yeah. So anyway, it's hard to know. It may well be that, you know, this was just a person who was crying for help. We carry no water for Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, heavens no. We carry water for no human.
Yeah. But, well, I carry your water.
Ah, honey.
But.
And we love everybody. You know, we love the people who love Christ. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And right. And the truth is that we love. Let me back up. We are commanded to love everybody.
Sure.
And honestly, we do. But when I say I carry water for nobody, it means that I am taking no political side is really what it amounts to.
Right.
I am the ultimate independent.
Yep.
And that's, I think, what we all should be, the ultimate political independent.
Our loyalty is first and foremost to the kingdom of God, which,
amen,
we repeat, is not a kingdom of this earth.
No, it is not.
So that makes it a little difficult to align yourself politically with one particular political movement. Especially, let me put it this way. Right now in the United States, there is no political party that represents Christians 100%.
Well, I think if you believe that the millennial reign has already occurred, that you can believe that the kingdom is here now. Because in the book of Revelation, then you see in heaven, when all of this is said and done, that the singing begins. The kingdom of our God has now become the kingdom of the earth. I mean, let me find that exact quote. Carry
on. It's right from, you know, Handel wrote it into the Messiah.
He did.
Of our Lord and of his Christ. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, that leads to something I
said in my head. Thank you very much.
that I stumbled onto the other day. We'll have the Messiah sing later this year.
Let's sing along on PID Radio.
They stumbled onto something the other day. An interview with a gentleman who's written a new book about the Nephilim, and I won't name the book because I don't want to get this into a, you know, he said, she said, name pointing, finger throwing, that kind of thing. But his contention was that the Nephilim have returned, that they are active in every state in the United States, in every nation on planet Earth. But his definition of what constitutes Nephilim was rather disturbing. He said that the Nephilim have essentially traded their physical stature as giants, the way they're portrayed in the Bible. You know, Goliath, you know, Bashan of, you know, Og of Bashan, those sort of the big guys, you know, really tall, destroyers of humanity. They've traded that outward appearance for what this guy called holy garb, meaning suits and ties. That's what he said. And that these giants are now to be understood as giants in the metaphorical sense, giants of banking, giants of entertainment, giants of politics, giants of industry.
Well, how open-ended.
Yeah.
I mean, you can interpret that any way you want to and go after individuals and say,
oh. Yes. You're one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a little too good at this. Get them. But this was disturbing to me because I see this as justification or a theological rationalization for dominion theology. If we can identify the leading politicians, the leading financiers, the leading lights in entertainment and religion as members of the Nephilim and thus irredeemable, okay, not savable, then there is nothing stopping us from taking them out.
Well, if you believe that you embody Christ on earth, why not take them out? After all, you are God.
Yes, and since these beings are irredeemable, well, killing one is no more a sin than it was a sin for David to cut the head off Goliath. I think this is really dangerous.
Yes, it is.
I think this teaching is going to lure a lot of well-meaning Christians into some really heretical behavior. Because if you convince people that, look, this is how we're going to set up the kingdom of God on earth, we need to take these Nephilim out of the way, these giants of industry, giants of banking, giants of politics, so that we can set up the kingdom of God.
You know, and this is why we say over and over again, you really need to know your Bible. And,
yes,
and,
amen.
You know, there are programs you can use. I was just chatting with somebody on Facebook today about how I love Bible in 90 Days program, because you can jump in. If you've missed, you know, day one, Genesis 1-1, you can jump in at any point, spend 15, 20 minutes max a day and read it in 90 days. And then if you came in late, you just start over again and finish up. And you can read it four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really start digging in there. And as you're reading through, you might find after your second, you know, or third time through, you think, wait a minute, I think I'm going to take it a little slower this time. Read it in 180 days, and I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to figure out what these actual words mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. You don't take a proof text, one or two, you know, verses that support your particular slant on a topic.
Yeah, especially because this particular gentleman was using the Book of Jubilees as a primary source. Well, we know from the Book of Jubilees that blah, blah, blah. Well, no. The Book of Jubilees is referenced in the Bible, and mm-hmm. so we can consider what it says, but if you're going to take something from the Book of Jubilees, it better have supporting text in the Bible before you can accept it.
Exactly.
In other words, where the Book of Jubilees or the Book of Enoch deviate from Scripture, mm-hmm. then you have to say, okay, we cannot take that as rock-solid truth.
And when those things occur, you know that that may be the very reason that those who sat down and said, these are the book, these are the 66 books are the ones we're going to put in.
Right.
That they vetted all of those others and said, look, they're not jiving with these ones that we know are mm-hmm. rock solid.
Yeah. Now, we're willing to entertain the theory that, you know, that the demons that we see in the world today that we know still are active and tormenting humans who open the door to that sort of spiritual oppression or possession may, in fact, be the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim.
Yes, they may.
But we don't know that. We don't know that for sure because the Bible doesn't say so. It says so in the Book of Enoch, and that was a belief among the ancient Hebrews and Jews. But the Bible doesn't say so for sure. We'll take it as a working theory,
they
but not as absolute truth.
They don't come with a tattoo that says, oh, by the way, I'm a Nephilim.
Exactly. And if you can teach people this, and this is why I thought this teaching was just so dangerous that I plan to do more research on it, you've got justification for recruit volunteers for Joel's army. We need to go forth and cleanse the earth of these irredeemable spawn of Satan, the serpent seed that has taken control of the earth.
Exactly. Just so you understand, for those of you who may not quite be getting where we are not saying how we fall on are there Nephilim, are there not Nephilim. We're not answering that question because we think that's a debate that is, I think, almost sidetracking us
in
a way.
Yes, yeah.
But whether you believe in Nephilim being on the earth or not, Nephilim being the offspring of the conjugation between a human and a fallen angel, whether or not you believe Nephilim are walking the earth at this point, and I will concede the fact that there may well be. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I agree.
If whether you believe it or not, to have someone come along and say, yes, they do exist, and by the way, he's probably your banker.
Yeah, or your congressman,
or she may be your teacher,
or our president.
Yes,
because they're giants in their particular fields.
Exactly,
arts and entertainment, and business, and education.
Oh, those seven mountains!
Right, the seven mountains have been claimed by giants, and we need to take them out. That is, I think,
that is
where this may
theology.
Be leading.
That's
exactly.
the definition of
so,
it.
So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. Just watch for that. It's, I think, a very dangerous, dangerous teaching that's going to lure well-meaning Christians into some behavior that is not scriptural. That is not our Great Commission.
How are we doing on time?
We're just about ready to wrap it up.
Are we real? Well, I'll tell you what. Because we're going to try to keep this at 30 minutes. Even though we're only doing it on Sundays now, we're still going to try to keep it at 30 because I frankly start to fade after 30. Literally, I fade. Those of you who listen to VFTB, you know that they're not live anymore. They're Memorex. And the one you had this last Friday was?
We talked with Tony Cale, the author of Santa Muerte.
Oh, that's right.
Mexico's mysterious saint of death. He's researched this cult for over 20 years. And we had a very informative discussion about what this cult is about, as near as we can tell. It's spreading northward. It's with the influx of Mexican Americans. It appeals to the downtrodden. But is this saint that, you know, and I use that word in air quotes, is represented by a figure that looks very much like the Grim Reaper.
For now.
For now, yeah. But the practices and beliefs of this cult are morphing right in front of our eyes. So it's kind of a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Tony Cale talked about what he's been able to learn about this cult and why so many people seem to are drawn to this, where they think death is sort of the great equalizer. So if you appease death and make death happy, it will stay away for a while. It's syncretistic because it pulls in elements of native folk icons, folk religion.
And it's kind of what you want to make it, isn't it?
It is. And it brings in some elements of Roman Catholicism. Now, being very clear, this is not Roman Catholicism, and the Roman Catholic Church has spoken out strongly and condemned this cult. So, you know,
they should.
Yeah. But it's really an interesting discussion.
Well,
so
this coming week, yes.
Yeah, it's going to talk with Steve Wolberg of White Horse Media about how the recent events in Japan and the flooding in Australia and so forth relates to biblical prophecy, because we see in the Bible prophecies of earthquakes in diverse places. Jesus said that. The prophet Isaiah said the Lord said in the latter days the earth would reel like a drunkard, and this quake in Japan actually shifted the earth on its axis by about 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And moved Japan by about 8 feet.
Yes, and actually shortened our day by a microsecond or something like that.
Right, right.
Which really cheesed Sam.
Yeah, because he's very precise on when we are done and when it's time for bed. So
he is indeed. We want to remind you that as we approach our moving date, which is the end of the month, this month being March of 2011, that we may have weekends where we simply can't get a show out because we're not here.
Yeah.
Or our stuff is packed up.
Exactly. So just be aware of that.
Or we have no internet.
Yeah, and that's coming too.
Yeah, because they're going to cut it off here and they won't turn it on there for a while. And so we're going to...
I know. We're already getting shakes.
I don't know what I'm going to
do. Tether to the phone. We also remind you that the Politics of Religion Conference is still moving apace, moving ahead the final weekend of the month. Today, in fact, we shot some video that our friends Sam and Alice Miller have graciously volunteered to edit.
Thank you, Sam and Alice.
Into a presentation. It's just a very short, very broad overview of Dominion theology. That
it's your way, once again, Memorex, of showing up. They kicked him off the roster. They said, we don't want you here. Get away. We'll use your move as an excuse.
Yes.
No. Actually, they really wanted him to be there. And I know we both wanted to be there. We had planned and going, both of us, and bringing Sam,
mm-hmm.
T. Dachshund. So he's very... He's depressed, actually.
We, to borrow a famous phrase, the boss made us an offer we couldn't refuse. And the weekend of, he said, we really want you to be there by the first week of April. So that means, okay, if we're going to be there first week of April, we got to close in the house March 31st. And it finally dawned on me, for a week or two, I thought, we can still manage to do this. And then it finally dawned on me, let's see, close in a house, move, start new job, drive 7 hours, give presentation, all within 48 hours.
Not enough time.
That's probably not going to happen. So anyway,
well,
CJ Hampton.
God has been moving us along. So
yeah. So anyway,
we thank him for it.
We will have a video presentation there, and spoke with some of the fellows last night who were very, really looking forward to it.
This is a great group, and that's the big reason that I'm so disappointed that we're not going to be able to make it.
Right.
We had so looked forward to fellowshipping with the other speakers,
Dr. Future,
Chris Pinto,
Chris White,
and Chris White.
Yeah,
I think Chris Pinto may be a question mark now. I don't want to speak for CJ, but he'll be making that announcement, so we're not going to make it for him.
But of course, Russ Dizdar,
absolutely.
Yeah, Andrew Hoffman. So just a wonderful group.
And there may be some others that are in the works.
Yes, exactly. So keep an eye on vftb.net and pidradio.com, because and of course the Facebook
Politics
sites.
Of Religion.
Facebook site.
Again.
Yes.
That's hard to say.
The Politics of Religion at Facebook, because there is a page there for that event, and there will be announcements there too, as CJ...
You said that better than I did.
Well, I had 13 years of experience in the broadcasting industry, so thank you very much, everybody. I can do the radio voice really well. Hey! So anyway, not to end the program, especially one that dealt with so much.
No, absolutely. We need to really, really, really pray, not just for the people of Japan, but for the people all over the world. If you know anybody who doesn't know Christ as his Savior or her Savior, you got to talk to him today, people, because they may not have tomorrow. Amen. You may not have tomorrow.
Yeah, none of us is guaranteed another day.
No, we are not.
Yeah, well, on that note, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.